After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have came to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go worship him." Next page.
Are you done?
Of course we know I am not. Okay. I just have two pages. Okay. Of course we know what Herod was really up to. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Hi, so Lily is going to light the love candle. Okay, and then the kids are all going to take turns doing the rest. Okay, ready?
The Magi traveled from afar to see not just an earthly king. The Magi traveled to worship the heavenly king.
This morning we will light the fourth candle, the candle of Christ the King.
Jesus' kingdom is not this world. This truth that Maggie recognized.
Among their visits to the child Jesus, they knew the truth that through the infant now we viewed him, he will share this Father's throne.
Jesus may have come as a child. He may have hidden his power in flesh, but that was only for a time.
For in the future, a time will come where every knee shall bow and worship Christ the Lord.
All the people of all time will recognize him for who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord, and the Lord of Lords.
Dear Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
We proclaim, like the angels, the shepherds, and the Magi, that you are the King of our lives.
To you be all the glory, all the praise, and all our worship.
In Jesus' name, amen to Lord.
We should have this much fun. Especially reading scripture. It's good. I like it. Now, scriptures are describing the Magi. And the Magi are often described as wise men. The wise still seek him. Wise men. But I always find it a little confusing. It's like, How wise could they be when they have to stop and ask for directions? We can think of them as educated. We can think of them as scholarly. We can think of them as kings and priests even. We know this about them. They knew some partial truths. Kind of a lot like our culture today. Many people know partial truths. They have some idea about what Christmas is about. They have some idea about Jesus. They have some idea about God. They have some idea about angels. Many hold many ideas. Some need a little guidance, need a little direction. They need a little direction from time to time. The wise men were on a mission. They were on a mission to find the newborn King of the Jews and to worship him. Just that alone is enough to cause a lot of conflict, especially with those that might be around them or from other nations or other religions. I can promise you this, it will cause conflict for you too. Just mention the name of Jesus. Just invite someone to Christmas Eve service and see the argument that you can get into. And what's fascinating about these men is really kind of, I think, some of the things that they have to teach us about God. I know this for sure. Here's your first slide. God makes every effort to reach every person, no matter how far away they are from him. We three kings of Orient are, right? We traverse so very far. They come from the east, far, far away. God gives people revelation. God gives personal revelation, personal revival, personal encounters, and personal teachings. You can debate forever about, was this star visible by everywhere, or by everyone everywhere? Or was it just a star that was visible to them? You can debate it too. Was the star there and guided them and disappeared, and then they had to ask Herod for directions, and then they left Herod and the star reappeared and settled over the manger or over the house where Jesus was? The scriptures give us last week an impression of the lowly, the shepherd, the smelly, the far out into the field. And now we're getting a picture of the educated, the wealthy, even further away and having to traverse and come. The scriptures give us that impression that we might ponder some things about scripture, but that we might ponder things about God. God reaches all peoples from all walks of life. I bring you good news, great tidings for all the people. All the people, regardless of economic status, regardless of job title, regardless of your ethnicity, he's reaching out. He's reaching out to you. A light in the sky, a dream, a sermon, this sermon, an act of kindness or mercy, compassion, perhaps grace from a stranger that is given to you. Maybe he stirs your heart to be generous this Christmas instead of the Scrooge. There is divine intervention. This moment, divine intervention. God is fully present. Right here, right now. And these magi are on a quest. Are you? A quest that will shape their understanding. They may need some direction, they may need some guidance. But they're seeking. Are you? This is the quest for a Magi to find the one born the king of the Jews. And it seems logical that you would ask the current king, where's the newborn king? But to say the least, we know, many of us, that it stirs up a little bit of jealousy in the king. It stirs up a little bit of controversy and legacy issues and politics. We must know this about the Magi. They must have some kind of influence because they get an audience with the king. A lowly shepherd probably would not get an audience with the king. But somehow, these educated Magi that have traveled far, probably with an entourage, disturbed the city, awoken the king, and now wants to have words with the king. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? They ask. We saw his star when it arose and have come to worship him. There's your next one. Ask. They asked. They asked. I'm going to ask you a question too. When Jesus was crucified, they posted a sign above his head, right? Anybody know what that sign said that was posted when they crucified him, right? They posted a sign above his head. What did it say? King of the Jews. King of the Jews. King of the Jews from the very beginning. Even unto his death, for those that knew. God will stir up the heart of people to contemplate him, to ask questions about God. Where is God? Who is God? Why God? Which God? Everyone here has asked these types of questions. We've pondered and we thought, is he real? Does he still speak to people? And what is Christmas really all about? What's the point of it all? See, from the rearranged lives of Joseph and Mary, to the lowly shepherds, to the wealthy and to the wise kings, if you want to call them that, God still speaks. And so I have a little bit of a definition for you. What is Christmas about? It's about divine intervention. It's the Spirit becoming flesh. It's God intervening. We all need some divine intervention. And it didn't look the same for Mary and Joseph as it did for the shepherds, as it did for the Magi, as it did for me, as it will for you. We all need some divine intervention. Many people are searching God. These Magi certainly were. They had seen a star, a shining light. They pursued it. It was not an easy journey. They had traveled thousands and thousands of miles in months and months and months, and you thought you had a hard time getting to church today. And these are not Oriental kings, educators, like we think of Japan and Taiwan or China, that kind of Orient. They were Middle East, East. Middle Eastern, East. More like Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Traveling through all of that harsh terrain to get to the king. Some people react really well to divine intervention. Some, not so much. Asking the current king where the new king is, that's a pretty bold question. Maybe the current king is not as excited about the new king as you are. Herod certainly felt threatened. Why? Pride. A new king? I thought I was the king. You came looking for the king of the Jews? I'm the king of the Jews. Oh, you mean a newborn king of the Jews. Some people react differently to divine interventions. Some people feel very differently about worship. Worship? Worship a god? I'm not worshiping any god. Serve? I'm the king. I'm not serving anything or anybody. I bow down to no one. I'm my own God. I make my own way. Divine intervention is not always well received by many people. And some will just dismiss it altogether. It's irrelevant. God is irrelevant. Insignificant. Meaningless. Many people ask the wrong questions to the wrong people, and they get the wrong answers, and they get bad directions. There's a lot of Herods, people. There's a lot of Herods. They're deceptive in their schemes, and they want to kill off the little baby Jesus. They want to take Christ out of Christmas. Evil exists. Evil desires to eliminate Christ. Evil wants to deflect and to distract, sends you on a wrong path. See, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against these principalities of darkness, isn't it? Now, there are others that will consider, they will ask all those same questions concerning divine intervention. And they will hear and receive, and then they will respectfully reject. I know all about Christmas. Don't believe in it. I know all about Jesus, not God. Some will follow after him. Some will seek him. Some will respond to him. Some will worship him. Some will honor him. Some will praise him. Some will sing to him. Some will show up in the houses of worship and dance praises unto him. Which are you? I know this, that everyone will contemplate. Everyone's going to ask. Everyone's going to seek. There's a spiritual hole in every human being. God has put it there. You will consider. You will ask. Who is this Jesus? A great lead question, by the way, if you want to ask anybody. What is Christmas all about? What is Christmas all about? What is Christmas all about? And then just listen for answers. What is Christmas all about? Commercialism? What is Christmas? It's all about the kids. What is Christmas all about? It's all about money. What is Christmas all about? You know, divine intervention. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called all together all the people's priests, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them, so where's the Messiah to be born? Where does the scripture say he's going to be born? Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, there are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And they got an answer. There's your next one. They got an answer. The Jewish people thought the promised Messiah was for the Jews, not the Gentiles. The Jewish people thought the promised Messiah was for the Jews. Not the Gentiles. In fact, all of the first followers of Christ were most exclusively Jews. Yet we can see from the very beginning, God was inviting those outside Israel, outside of the closed walls. God was inviting the outcast. God was inviting the lowly. God was inviting the wealthy and the educated, even though they seem far, far away from him. God is still inviting. He's inviting you into a deeper walk. He's inviting you into a spiritual journey with him. And it's highly unlikely that these magi share the religion of the Jewish people. They were magi, a combination of scientist and astrologer, well-educated and wealthy. They had a lot of knowledge. But there was something that stirred within them. Something so profound that they had to seek it out. They would uproot whatever they knew and go and find. They had to seek out answers to their questions. God was moving the heavens, displaying creation in new ways that they had never seen before. From a host of angels to shining stars, God is doing something different. And those learned scientists and scholars, they seen it. Did everyone see it? Does everyone grasp the spiritual movement of God? Even when it's on full display, could people even see it or recognize it or tolerate it, or do they just reject it? Magi, we're seeking shepherd. We're seeking the King of the Jews, looking for something amazing. The shepherds hanging out with the sheep, not even thinking, just all of a sudden, boom, there's God. Mary and Joseph's life's uprooted. Mary ponders all these things in her heart, all her life. She was there at his birth. She was there at his death. All the spiritual depths of perception, all the things that are going on around this time, amazing. Heaven and earth is changing. Some see it very spiritual. Some see it as global warming or climate change. Some see spiritual things happening. God is doing something different with his creation. God is alive and moving. And it often feels very weird. It feels very awkward. It's out of the ordinary. It would make these wise and educated scholarly men uproot themselves and go. Not just for a weekend trip somewhere, months of travel to go and see. It's not the usual circumstance. They see something different. God is doing something different. God is doing something in you. Especially if you think it's a little weird. Like you start to shake when you're thinking about praying for a coworker. I'm wondering if this guy's been complaining about his wife and kids every day for 2 months. I come here and I so want to pray for this guy and it feels so weird. Yes, exactly. And the world doesn't seem to understand the spiritual stuff. They're all interested in pride and greed and politics, and they got their eyes on the world. What do you got your eyes on? There was divine intervention. It should seem unusual. I wish it seemed more ordinary. God never abandons anyone. There is never anyone too far gone, even you, or too far out of reach. God never gives up on anyone, and he uses whatever means is necessary to help lead them to Christ. In the case of God sent a message using the astrology to bring these magi to him. An astronomical, 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 that's big, right? That's not astronomy, that's big, right? And it was big. As a sign, a signal to them that they needed to search for this child. He knew exactly what would move the Magi. Think about that for a second. He knew what it would take to get them from there to go there. And he would move all of heaven to make it so. The Lord knows exactly what it will take to move you from here to there. And now if you're thinking about, well, I'm thinking about moving from Florida to, you know, to Wisconsin, I don't think that's the kind of move I'm talking about. See, where's your head and where's your mind? Talking about your attitude, your spiritual development, your very soul. The things that are so deeply embedded in you, they shape your character. And these things, God moves. What's it going to take for you to seek him? What's it going to take for you to receive him? What would it take for you to get up and go to church already? What will it take for you to finally give everything you got and surrender all? What will it take for you to ask the questions and to ponder and to seek? What will it take for you to get over your fear and finally pray for your coworker so he hears you? And you're breaking down all kinds of spiritual barriers and creating all kinds of nuances in the spiritual realm just because you listened to the Holy Spirit of God. And man, was it weird. Man, was it unusual. Man, was it out of the ordinary. Yes. Yes. Do you realize you are living in biblical times? These are your next slide. These are biblical times. Jesus prayed for you. Did you think the Bible was just, you know, folklore? Did you think the scriptures were just all about yesteryear? About things of the past? Did you think they were just a book of fiction and a bunch of stories and narratives and tales? The scriptures are as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago when the Magi came seeking and looking for the answer to what the prophets had said hundreds of years before that. It took an astrological sign to move these educated and scientific men. What's it going to take for you? I've seen it far too many times in my own ministry and in my own life. You know what it takes? Crisis. You know what it takes? Death. It takes turmoil. It takes struggles. It takes broken hearts and broken relationships. It takes isolation and emptiness of the soul. It takes tragedy. You know what brings peace and unity to the United States of America? World war. Our own brokenness and our own loneliness, our own pain. Too often it takes that kind of a crisis to bring us to a place where we say, we need some divine intervention here. And he's been telling you, I gave you divine intervention thousands of years ago. Where you been? Who you been listening to? What you been seeking? If you were to begin a search for God today, where would you begin? Well, let me Google that. Is that where you start? Where would you begin? Would you look to the heavens for the brightest star? I gotta find the most famous preacher. Do you look in a church? Who do you ask for directions? I bet you can find them if you started looking for them. I bet you can find them if you started looking for them. I bet you can find them in his word. I bet you can find him. You start reading his word, start saying, Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. What is it? I bet you can find him in a good church. I bet you can find him in a good fellowship with people that love people. I bet you can find a lot of misinformation too. I bet you can find a lot of other people with a lot of other agendas. I bet you can find a lot of judgment. You can find a lot of gossip. You can find a lot of falsehoods. I can promise you this. I'll promise you this. You'll find what you're looking for. You will find what you're looking for. I hope you walk into this place, this sacred and holy ground, and you're looking for Jesus. You're looking for Jesus Christ. You're looking for some divine intervention. I don't need people to talk to me and tell me about. I need Jesus to come into my heart, move me in my soul, and reveal himself to me in new and strange and very weird ways. I need something unusual to happen, Lord. I need an encounter with you. I promise you, you will find what you're looking for. Keep searching. Keep looking. And what boggles my mind is not that they sought him out. What boggles my mind is not that I would seek him or that you would seek him. What boggles my mind is this infinite, omniscient, most holy God would come to you. That he would reveal himself to the Magi. That he would reveal himself to you. That he would show himself to the Magi. That he would show himself to you. What kind of God is this that would lower himself and become the creation? The creator becomes the creation. That ain't a thing I know about kings, lords, presidents, royalty, lower themselves? When was the last time a physician came knocking at your door because you were sick? Lowered himself to come to you? When was the last time a lawyer sat across the kitchen table from you to give you advice? Lowered himself to come to you? When was the last time a senator came to your house, sat down with you, had a cup of coffee, so you could talk to him about the stop sign that needs to go in on a road? Would they lower themselves to you? Here, only during elections, right? Yeah. Here is this great, amazing king. God seeking you, revealing himself to you. This wonderful moment, Messiah, the Emmanuel, God with us. You know, religion is just all humanity trying to reach God. That's all it is. They're trying to establish a relationship with the spiritual. And you can call it anything you want. You can call it all kinds of denominations. And people got all kinds of ideas about how to reach God. Rub the crystal, walk around the tree 5 times, worship the water, know the nature and you'll know the God. I mean, there's all kinds of it. It's all religion. It's all this stuff. Yeah, all of mankind, all of humanity, seeking, trying to fill the hole that God has put in their heart to try to fill. And they're reaching up to God. You call it what you want, but there's only one. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? There's only one that came from spirit into the flesh, came to you to redeem you, to reconcile you back unto himself. Here's your next slide. See, Jesus is my Savior. It's not my religion. And when you can get a hold of that and grab hold of that, you'll be walking in peace that is far beyond this world and far above what humanity thinks about God. You will know about God because God did a divine intervention for all of humanity, and God did a divine intervention for you. Herod called the Magi secretly and found out the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child." This is what Herod's speaking to the Magi. "And as soon as you find him, hey, report back to me so I may go and worship him too." Do you think King Herod has worshiping Jesus on his mind? Here's your next one, attempt. There's an attempt at deception, isn't there? There's just an attempted deception. And if you know the story of Herod, or just find the passage in Matthew and read on a little bit more, you'll see the rest of the story. And that these astrologers and wise men, they had a partial understanding, they had partial truth, they had partial information about Jesus the Messiah. And they set off on their journey of faith to find the Christ, to find the Emmanuel, to find Yeshua, to find the King of the Jews. And they ask, "Isn't everybody looking for the King of the Jews?" No. No. "Isn't everybody going to celebrate Christmas? Isn't this so exciting?" No. Some are more interested in power and prestige. They're more interested in wealth. They're interested in this world. The Magi were diligent in their task, and they continued to be receptive to the Lord's leading. Herod had the world on his mind. Herod had power on his mind. Herod was greedy. He was self-centered. He was prideful. He was hungry for prestige and entitlement. Herod was being manipulative to protect his ways, to preserve his legacy, and to ensure his own kingship. I don't want another king. I'm the king. The Magi were seeking something spiritual. They were looking for something divine, something of God, something out of this world, something spoke about long, long ago, something prophesied about long, long ago, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, bigger than this physical life. Herod wanted the things of this world. The Magi wanted the things of God. What do you want? How easy it is to get distracted in your calling. Misfed a little bit of information. Directed in the wrong ways. Taking too much information in and you're confused and you don't know. We all need divine intervention. Let me share with you how easy it is to get distracted. Let's throw a Christmas party. Let's throw a Christmas party because we love our family and we love our friends. Let's have a Christmas party. We'll invite people over. It's going to be awesome. We love them all. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, I'm going to have to cook something. Okay. What am I going to cook? Now I have to go shopping. Well, this is going to take a little bit of time now. And of course, I'm going to have decorative stuff, so I'm going to have to decorate to have this Christmas party. And I'm going to have to clean house now. I'm going to have to clean my house. I'm going to have to cook the food. I'm going to, you know what? I don't love them that much. Anybody? How easy it is to go from I love them to stress and anxiety. The things of this world, man, they just pull you right out of it. Pull you right out of it. The divine intervention is the Spirit of God saying love and grace and forgiveness and unity and bringing people together. I can't be bothered with any of that. I only got 24/7 and I ain't got time for that. The wonderful idea quickly turns to all that anxiousness. It's overwhelming. It's taxing. When you truly do love your family and your friends, but we get distracted with the burden of it. And it steals our joy, and the enemy wins. I can't even begin to tell you how many bridezillas I have dealt with. They come and sit. They're so excited about the wedding. They're so excited about the love in their life. They can't wait for it to happen. It's going to be beautiful. It's just going to be me and my family. It's just going to be about 12 of us. Give that 2 months. There's 120 people coming and 8 bridesmen. And she is wasted. There's no more joy. Took your eyes. You got distracted. Some people will say, I love this church, man. I love all these people, man. I just love being here. And I go, hey, you know, the toilets need scrubbing. Oh, I don't love them that much. I love this church. I love these people, man. I say, you know, would you mind mowing the grass or trimming some hedges or vacuuming a floor? I don't love them that much. I should have given you this as a slide, but I didn't. Your attempt to do good will be met with an attempt to distract you from it. Your attempt to do good will be met with an attempt to distract you from it. Newton's third law of motion. Every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's third law of motion. So good, evil. Up, down. East, north, south. Love, hate. Give, get. Always, right, an equal. So here's your next slide. You cannot eliminate the distractions in your life, but you can increase your focus. People love to tell me about all the distractions going on in the church. I couldn't hear a word you were saying, Pastor. Your shirt was too bright. I couldn't hear a word you were saying, Pastor, because the carpet was a mess. I couldn't understand a word you were saying, Pastor, because the sanctuary was too cold. It was too hot. The pizza wasn't hot enough, and the coffee was too cold, and there was no cream. I cannot help you with all the distractions. I want to help you with your focus, that you get your eyes on what it needs to be on. There is a divine intervention, and God is fully present, and you're looking at the carpet. God is fully present, and you're worried about the pizza being too cold. God is fully present, and the coffee has no creamer. What are you talking about? What are you focused on? Stay focused on the mission. Hope, joy, love, peace, Christ. Do you know what your mission even is? These wise men had a mission. They knew their mission, what they were seeking. They believed God had a purpose for them. And we're still reading about it thousands of years later. Are you fulfilling your very own purposes for even being here? Do you believe that God has a God-sized purpose for you? Those are some good questions. Those are a lot of questions that require some divine intervention. And what would a God-sized mission look like to you? What would a God-sized mission look like to you? Would it be grandiose? Would it be big and involve thousands of people? Would it be large and extravagant? Or would it be small? Small as a tiny baby in a manger. Or would it be as small as a word of encouragement to someone who's down? A word of prayer to a coworker who hasn't been to church in 30 years? Could it be as simple as a hug? God cares about you. Sometimes the best gifts are the smallest ones. Prayer and worship and giving and kindness. I can't tell you how many people will say, even here, I can't wait and I don't want to miss my hug, Pastor. I'm going to give them a hug. And there have been several people over the course of many years that have told me, you're the only person that's hugged me in years. You want to talk about isolation? Stay focused on the love, not the hardship. Stay focused on Jesus, not the expense of the gifts. Stay focused on the joy and the peace and the hope and the smiles and the laughter and the fun and the divine intervention. See, the scriptures in Hebrews write it this way: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. He rewards those that earnestly seek him. Continue to seek him. And when we find him, stay focused on him. Don't let the world drag you away. He rewards. Everything else falls into place. The Magi were rewarded for their long journey of faith. They met the Christ. Their journey was one of faith. When they got there, they offered the best. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, there's an arrival. There's your next one. There's an arrival. My journey has been a lot, probably like a lot like the Magi. Not an easy journey, long journey. I got lost a few times, ventured down some wrong roads, asked all the wrong questions, believed all the wrong people, got bad directions, but I kept on seeking. I kept on searching. I kept on asking. I kept pleading with God for divine intervention. And it all led me to this moment, to this place, to this joy, to this hope, to this sermon where you get to hear it. Does it mean anything to you? Who speaks hope into your life? Who speaks joy into your life? Who speaks peace into your life? My heart at times, I'm just in here by myself praying on my knees or fiddling on the piano, and I will be overwhelmed with his presence and his reassurance and the love that abounds. I can barely hold it in at times. I'll be writing a sermon and working on my notes, and the tears are dripping off my face onto the pages. And I don't know, God, how to get them to understand what you're saying. You have to do the work, God. I am inadequate. I am just a man on a journey. And it goes way beyond words. It goes way beyond feelings. It's spiritual. And it can be weird and unusual and supernatural. All I got to give is all I give. It's all I got. And it ain't much, but it's all I got. And that's all he wants. Lay it down. Take my life, Lord. I am yours. I am an offering. Everything about me, all my troubles, all my pain, all my past, all my failures, all my successes, all my brilliance, all my money, it's all yours, God. I surrender all. What did you offer the Lord when you found him? Spare change? Half a commitment? I'll come on Christmas and Easter? Perhaps you felt like you got to make a list because now you found your spiritual Santa Claus. Did you offer gifts? Did you offer yourself? Any gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Did you dedicate your children? Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your grandchildren? Did you lay down your troubles and your problems? Because sometimes that's all you got. That's all I can see, Lord, is all my troubles and all my problems. I'll take them. I'll take them. I'll take what you got. Once the wise men arrived at the house, they went in and they saw Mary and the baby and they worshiped Mary. Once the wise men arrived at the house, they went in and they worshiped the gold. Once the wise men arrived at the house, they went in and they noticed that the feng shui of the house was very nice and that the carpet was actually from the Far East. When the wise men entered the house and they saw Mary and the baby, they worshiped Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. The first thing they did was worship. They found what they had been looking for. They found their reward. They found their prize. They found their truth. They found the prophecies fulfilled. They found their joy. They found their king, and they worshiped. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't worship the house. They didn't worship the gifts. They didn't worship the gold. They bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. What are you worshiping? What are you honoring in your house? Who do you worship? I bet the Magi told their story over and over and over again about the quest, about their meeting Herod, about all that they had came through and went through to get to where they were and how the Lord had led them. All about the divine intervention of God in their lives and how they sought him out and how they were rewarded. One last question. One last question. Where do you get wise instruction? There's your last slide. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much that indeed You are present. You have ministered into our hearts and into the depths of our souls. I pray you shape us, mold us, challenge us. And Father, I pray that we would get over our fear of that which seems awkward and weird, because it could very well be you, something out of this world. And we invite you, Lord. We invite you, plead with you, and ask you for divine intervention into our lives. We're so grateful for your son, Jesus. We're so grateful that we celebrate Christmas in remembrance of what he has done. And Father, we plead the Holy Spirit would continue to lead, mold, shape, and guide us. We seek your instruction. We come before you with thanksgiving, praise, and adoration. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome.
If the men would prepare themselves for this morning's tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just the gift that you bestow upon us, Father. And I just ask that we would, not only in recognition, but in submission, Father, and in true worship fashion, that we would just